All right, Guillermo Mash, welcoming you to the Without a Roof Radio program. Going to do a little some new shout outs here, and this is a big one. Pizza for Econa supporting K through 12. Homeless students hungry for pizza, pasta, wings, sandwiches, salads. You're in luck. School Ties Back to School Connect is hosting a fundraiser at Roundtable today, right now, July 12th, 5 to 9 p.m. Almond Orchard Shopping Center, 2201 Pillsbury Road. When you order, please state our fundraiser's name, School Ties Back to School Connect. And once again, that is at Roundtable Almond Orchard right now till 9 o'clock p.m. I would also ask folks that are listening and joining in to make some calls to your city council, make some calls to Butte Board of Supervisors, and get a cooling center. And I'm not just talking about a cooling center. Shout out Jesus Center, who does a tremendous amount of work in this in the community helping folks. But a publicly open community center for not only folks experiencing homelessness, but literally people that are poor and don't have enough money to turn on air conditioners. Butte County is way behind the curve on this one. All right, another news in town in Chico. The Property-Based Business Improvement District, otherwise known as PBID, passed at the July 5th Chico City Council meeting with 81% of the weighted votes, returning in favor of a tax assessment by square foot that will actuate the first of the calendar year, generating approximately $450,000. That will be used for clean and safe activities that the Downtown Chico Business Association, or DCBA, is managing today. Let me get my views on the table here. I'm not at all a fan of privatizing public space and leaving the management to landowners. Downtown is a community asset that is historically, as is the case for all downtown areas, the melting pot for community conversation and gathering. The tone of dialogue within our community, coupled with 5 years of documenting on the streets, lays bare the striking shift of an area less and less inviting for people with little or no money. The PBID does nothing to stem this tide and is a lever to move segregation and gentrification to the next level. This is a travesty. I personally have wished I had raised a family. Daughter is 22 today. Shout out, honey. Son is 26, but I wish I'd raised this family here in Chico and they could have seen the downtown area and seen the inclusiveness and the collectiveness for all the differing views, race, and economic status. And many of the downtown customers and businesses share the concepts of the views that I just stated. I know these people. I've talked to them. I talked to one of them today. And like me, they feel as if they're being squeezed by the forces of intolerance and bigotry, all done with a smile. I can say with my views firmly on the table that I see pockets of hope with tailoring the PBID as a method to shift Chico back towards inclusiveness and one that can assist people that are desperately needing to reengage with the community instead of being viewed as broken outcasts. For listeners, stay engaged with this. A lot of times what happens is what is said isn't what happens, and they wait for kind of the little stuff to die down, and then they start shifting things where we don't want them to be. You can bet your booty that Without a Roof's going to be all over it. I want folks to hear, because the rest of the show is going to be about the view from the plaza. It was an article that Ken Smith had penned in the current Chico News and Review, and it's with the principals of Chico Friends on the Streets, Patrick Newman, and a landowner and business owner, Terry Dubose, who had started doing lunches in the park. But I want people to hear what Kayla Young has to say. Kayla Young is 23. I've known her since she was 18 or 19, struggling at that point as well to keep herself above water. Actually, when I first met her, she was in the Sabbath House and loving it. But listen to what this young lady is talking about and know that she is not alone. She is not alone by scores. She is not alone by hundreds. This is what our police force is doing to folks simply because they have no place to be and little money in their pocket. This is Guillermo Mash on the plaza for the Without a Roof Radio program, and I'm really pleased. It's a friend of mine that I've known for about 3 or 4 years. We've done work, street work, with Kayla Young before, and she's going to give us a little insight on the views from the plaza being homeless. Welcome to KZFR, Kayla Young.
Hello, my name's Kayla Young. Basically, what I have experienced in the plaza is a lot of police come here. This is like the target of homeless, I feel like. I was just laying in the grass with my blanket, relaxing. I stay at the tourist shelter in Chico, and I was starting to get harassed, I felt. Like, asked questions like, where do you sleep? You know, what are you doing? And are you homeless? And I'm like, well, I don't feel like those are questions people should be asking. You know, someone who's not doing drugs. I don't do drugs or drink. And I feel like, you know, it was just very uncalled for. So they start asking more questions about my dog, who has all of his shots for through the Jesus Center program. Once a month, they do shots for your dogs. They help you. And I'm holding his leash, and we're just laying there in the grass enjoying the beautiful day. And the police officer comes up to us and he's like, well, guess what? I'm writing you a ticket because you don't have proof of shot records. And I'm like, oh my God, like I don't, you know, I'm not employed at the moment. I don't have money to pay for a ticket. And it's just like it's not necessary. I felt targeted. I felt like I was like being, because I had a backpack and a sleeping bag I was laying on, that I was basically judged that I was homeless. And it really, really offended me. So now I'm just, you know, it's just really, really hard to just relax at a park where everybody goes and to not be harassed by police officers. I mean, it's horrible. And it's really offending. I mean, you know.
You're in the Tory shelter right now?
Yeah, I'm in the Tory shelter.
How's that working out?
It's going pretty well. I've saved up $72.
Nice.
I'm saving, yeah. I do a little bit of side work for my friends, and I do house cleaning and stuff.
Kayla is on the poster for the Chico Ladies Night that's going to be on KZFR on the 20th, subbing for Face to Music, Terry Reynolds' long-running show on KZFR, but we're doing a whole fundraiser at Duffy's to hire staff writers, to pay for staff writers for the Homeward Street Journal, the Chico Vibe page. And we're just really excited that not only are you on the poster, you're gonna be in the studio with us.
Yeah. Can't wait. I want to go. I'm definitely going to be there.
And we're going to feature Kayla, some more of Kayla's story on next week's Without a Roof Radio program. Any final comments, Kayla?
I love Bill Mash. He's amazing, and I've known him forever. He's such a good guy.
Same to you, Kayla. All right, man. One of my funnest like segments I do here is I bring in local journalists from the Daily and the Weekly to talk about some of their articles. And we have Ken Smith here, who's going to share just a few words around you know, how he's put the story together called Views from the Plaza that's on page 8 of this week's Chico News and Review. Welcome to KZFR, Ken Smith.
Thank you very much.
What were your takeaways from this? I mean, give us a little insights on this, putting this piece together.
Well, it's kind of interesting, I guess, from a writing perspective, because it's not centered so much around a specific event as just kind of a overall kind of measuring the temperature of stuff going on. And just, we've had a lot of reports over the summer about shifting attitudes and the way that some people who are experiencing homelessness have been treated, just with crackdowns on so-called vagrancy issues and such. At the same time, there's, you know, businesses trying to do proactive things, but sometimes just differing viewpoints cause people to kind of question the motives behind certain events, and that's kind of what brought this particular thing to our attention. I mean, it's really just about, you know, you've got a couple different people who are kind of expressing their viewpoints through something as simple as a gathering to eat in the park. Mm-hmm. And how, and kind of, I guess, just with the environment that's going on in a lot of cities as they grapple with issues around homelessness, how even such a simple act can be perceived as something bigger.
I think it's a great opportunity, Ken, because you've got people with diverse views all in a space that we need more love and care, the Plaza, for folks experiencing mental illness and homelessness. So it'd be nice to kind of see if we can't get those folks talking to each other.
Sure, absolutely. And that was another thing. I mean, homelessness is something that we at the News and Review cover a great deal, and it's kind of part of my beat as well. So it's just it's important to kind of keep a constant watch on things that are going on and things that are developing. And I think what kind of brought us to do this story, like I said, wasn't so much the events themselves as much as like what they might indicate about other ideologies kind of coming into play. In some interesting conversations with people in the Plaza, just about fears that some communities have, and a lot of it's understandable. I think especially the way that other media outlets kind of couched the Wednesday lunches kind of added to the fire a little bit, and I just think it's just an important thing to talk about.
Thank you so much, Ken Smith, for coming in on the Without a Roof radio program.
Thank you.
All right, again, I'm Ash for the Without a Roof Radio program, and I'm here today on the plaza with Patrick Newman, founder of Friends on the Street. And we're going to be doing a follow-up interview from a CNR article, Views from the Plaza. You know, we're just looking at some of the background and some of the insights from the folks that were in that article. So maybe if you'd like, Patrick, maybe introduce yourself a little bit more so people know who you are that may not have heard about the program here.
Okay, so for about a year and a half, we've been meeting on the corner of the plaza on Sunday. And in that time, we've put about 5,000 sandwiches and 8,000 bottles of water and juice and tons of food and clothing on the street during our Sunday meetings out here.
And it's kind of moved to Wednesday as well? That's part of this Views from the Plaza piece?
I think we're going to try to be here on Wednesday as much as we can, just to see how that's all going. I would add that it's not just bringing stuff here that we've been doing. We've been actually trying since the criminalization laws were passed in 2015 to make it clear to people on the street that there are members of our community that support them in being in the public space. That's a huge part of what we're trying to do out here.
So what are your goals and aspirations for Wednesday lunches by Friends on the Street?
Well, I see the Wednesday lunch thing as possibly falling into two kind of cultural camps, and I'm not sure that there's anything that can really be done about that. I think there's a contingent of people in Chico, commercial interests and people in the city, who would simply like to make life as difficult as possible for people on the street. And they've done that in a lot of ways. And one of the goals with that, I think, is to try to make people as invisible as possible in the public space. Since the plaza is a highly visible spot, I see a sort of battle going on for the space. And I think the homeless need to be supported here Wednesday and every other day of the week. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, everybody deserves a place to be.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And the more time you spend with people and get to know their stories, the more that becomes a personal thing.
So what skills and passion do you and your group bring to bear on this issue on Wednesdays and on Sundays, Patrick Newman?
Skills and passion. You know, we have a couple of professors from Chico State involved. We have social workers. We have all kinds of people from the community. And I think our skills are being able to connect with people. I think our skills have to do with having a life experience of looking more in depth at economic issues, what generates the kind of visible poverty we see in California, especially today. So that there's a depth of knowledge with this group, and I think they're passionate about social justice, and I think they bring all that to this, and I think there's also a willingness to really get to know these people, which is a bit rare.
So maybe some points to expand or contract on from the physical article, the CNR article itself.
I was a little, let's just say, disturbed by the ending of the article, where I was quoted as saying that what I'll call the Take Back the Plaza group was bringing food intentionally for the homeless. I do not think that's true, and I never did, and that was not what I meant to convey when I talked with Ken about the story. So I think it's really important for the public to know that the Take Back the Plaza group is not feeding the homeless, and I don't think they're here to really meet them. That hasn't been my observation in the three Wednesdays I've been here. I think that group is here to make a statement about who should own the plaza, and I think they sort of believe that nice middle-class people ought to own the plaza. Unfortunately, the folks on the street have nowhere else to live, so if we're going to create an economy in which these people are marginalized to this extent, then they got to be somewhere, and so I'm a firm believer that the public space is all they have left, so I want to support them here.
For listeners just joining, we are having an interview here on the Without a Roof Radio program with Patrick Newman, founder of Friends on the Street. And Patrick is talking about Views from the Plaza, homeless advocacy group wary of lunch meetings in Chico City Plaza, which was published in the July 6th, 2017 Chico News and Review and was written by Ken Smith, the staff writer.
Anything to expand on?
Well, that was probably the main thing about the article. I think some of what probably could have been expanded on the article is the history of our year and a half out here. But I think we have been trying to do that in a pretty, well, we've done it in an unpublicized kind of way because we're trying to avoid getting into any sort of headaches with the city over whether or not we're having an event out here. So we don't advertise what we do. You know, we don't set up equipment when we come out here. It's done in a way to avoid having an event and generating the need to have a permit and all that kind of stuff. So I think if anything, the article maybe could have expanded a bit more on the background of Friends on the Street for the last year and a half and why we're here.
Do you feel as if you've expanded enough, or would you like to add a little bit more?
Well, I just think there's a cultural battle going on in Chico, and I guess what I would probably want to say more than anything is I'd like to see more people come out and stand with the poor, because if we don't stand with the poor, their civil rights are going to be stripped away. And I mean, that's on a humanitarian basis objectionable, but beyond that, we ought to be looking at our own self-interest too. If their civil rights are stripped away through criminalization and exclusion and all those other things, then what stops the next wave of criminalization happening to some other group of people in society? It's like we seem to repeat this same mistake over and over again and not ever really learn our lesson. If this was a bunch of black people out here in the plaza and the kind of criminalization was happening, or going all the way back to when the Orchard Church was kicked off the plaza, if that happened to a group of black people, I think lots of liberals in Chico would be up in arms. I don't see the same engagement, and it's a little frustrating.
Any closing comments, Patrick?
Well, yeah. Please come out to the plaza on Wednesday around noon, and we're going to move our time to Sunday around noon, and come out other days of the week, and pay attention to what's happening with the law enforcement in the plaza. We're seeing more guards out here, the private guards that have been hired by the city. They're patrolling the plaza. They're not sworn officers, so the things that they're saying to people on the street are oftentimes not true. We have restrooms that are now locked 8 hours every day, so people are criminalized for urination and defecation now. It's just inevitable that that's going to happen once you lock the restrooms and there's no 24-hour access anymore. So all these issues are up, and you know, contact ChicoFriendsOnTheStreet@gmail.com, and let's try to get organized and get more people involved in this struggle.
So just to close the show, or my segment of it, I'm happy that we're having this conversation in Chico. I'm glad there's two sides to it. You know, Ken Smith did some good work. I'm always impressed with the News and Review's editorial positions on many, many of these subjects. I thought Melissa Doherty's last editorial comment was excellent, and also the one on the cooling centers. It's an important voice. I don't hear it from the Enterprise Record at all. In fact, what I see there is a lot of demonization. And we need to have this other side of the conversation. So I appreciate that.
All right, Patrick, thanks for doing what you do and all the people that help you do what you do.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right, Guillermo Mash here on behalf of the Without a Roof Radio program. And it's my real pleasure to be doing an interview today with Terry DuBose. And she is the business owner of Broadway Pond down at the corners of 5th and 6th Street on Broadway, and she's also the landowner of that set of buildings that are physically there, from the Peace and Justice Center all the way over to, as I understand it, where the mobile phone shop is, correct? And welcome to KZFR, Terry DuBose.
Thank you.
Yeah, was that a good description of your space there?
Between Chico Peace and the pawn shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really blessed to talk to you, because you're not only a business owner, but a landowner, so I really appreciate all the work that you do in your space, and then at the plaza, which is what we're here to talk about. So Terry DuBose, you know, there's this article, a wonderful article Ken Smith wrote, Views from the Plaza. What is your view from the plaza? What do you see when you go to the plaza, Terry?
Well, for the last few years, I've been downtown Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to 5. I'm working. We have our jeweler that works down on Main Street, banking that we do, and I'm downtown a lot. I've spent quite a bit of time down there just by myself. I usually at least go down there once a week and have lunch by myself in the plaza, and just have observed that there's not a lot of the community out. I rarely see people out there eating and enjoying the beautiful plaza.
That's a view I see as well. I see the same thing a lot of times when I'm over there talking to folks. You know, I'm quote unquote the only one, you know, from the general public.
I rarely would see people even walk through it, mm-hmm. you know, let alone coming out and enjoying lunch or just hanging out there.
Yeah. So you started doing this lunch thing sometime in June. What was your goal? I mean, a lot of times I know I've done these kind of things. You're like, I want to go to the plaza and get, you know, show people a space. But, you know, where are you at right now with what you're doing?
There was no plan
okay.
at all. It just all came about. And so I think I just after observing for the last few years and just really hoping to get more people out there, more community members to come down to the plaza and enjoy it and feel comfortable. And I think there's a lot of preconceived notions about the plaza, a lot of things that people hear maybe just see and haven't taken the step to come down and actually come into the plaza.
Yeah, there's no better way of than understanding a place than to be in it, correct?
Correct. I personally, over the last few years, have observed behavior that is not one that I think is good for our town. I've observed everything from drug deals to, you know, people doing drugs and just inappropriate behavior. And I guess as the lunches started happening, my thoughts are just that the more that people come out, the more that type of behavior will be deterred.
Yeah, and it's not only just quote unquote when we say community, and I know you know that because I know Terry. I mean, Terry,
yeah. Yep.
You know, Youth for Justice. I ran a program out of the Peace and Justice Center, and
right.
You and I spoke a lot. So you and I have a relationship, and I have a lot of respect for you. But
thank you.
But the fact of the matter is, communities, everyone, and the homeless folks complain about it too. They're like, mm-hmm. You know. Right? They're
absolutely.
Like, can you please? I'm sick and tired of this behavior.
I've
you know?
Had yeah. many homeless people yeah. approach me and ask me about it that are not comfortable themselves there.
Yeah, because what is a very interesting dynamic, I happen just because I go to the plaza, I happen to go into the plaza the day after the budget passed, and it was a Wednesday. And I had no idea that your lunch was going on, but I saw the chief, I saw the mm-hmm. the mayor, I saw you. I said, oh, it must have something to do with the budget passing. I'm trying to come up with something, but... The most fascinating thing about that was I was talking to a couple of homeless people. That's why I was there. And as I'm talking, Terry, this guy rolls by on a bike trying to sell drugs. And he just kept right on going. And then the people I was with going, he's a bad guy. I was like, well, yeah, he's trying to sell drugs on his bicycle. He's riding through the plaza trying to sell drugs. But the thing is, I'm going to give you a mic here in just a second. It doesn't end there. He goes across the plaza driving on his bike. And there was cops in the plaza. It was like, it might have been your first day, maybe. I don't know. But the cops stop him, ask him to get off his bike. He gets off his bike. And then they kind of talk to him. He jumps back on his bike and rides right past the cops. And the cops are like looking at him, you know, should I do or something or not? But the homeless person I was talking to came back and said, you know, I told those cops, what are you doing? That guy's probably on a stolen bike. Why didn't you do anything about it? But I just thought that was so fascinating that I saw the exact behavior that you had described and that a homeless person's like, I don't want this in the plaza.
And just everybody being there could have deterred that happening, whether mm-hmm. he was trying to make a drug deal or not. So, I feel like it's just a positive thing all around mm-hmm. to have community members come out. 3 weeks in a row, we've had different people reach out for help while we were there.
Nice.
We had a young man that went with Michael from the Stairways program. The day of the lunch, it all happened. He reached out to law enforcement that was there, got him connected with Stairways program, mm-hmm. and it went from there. So, you know, maybe not being there, if we hadn't been there, that wouldn't have happened. So I see it as a win-win all the way around, and it doesn't cost anything. It's just having people come out and enjoy lunch.
I've heard, I don't know if rumors is the right term, but I've heard this whole, there's a take back the Facebook page, and then they kind of transpose that to, you know, your activity, and that maybe you're saying one thing and doing another.
I don't have a take back the plaza Facebook page. There is not one. Not anything I'm affiliated with. I have reached out to my friends just to come to the plaza by my personal Facebook, and that's been it. I think it's just an overall wanting to make our city safe and the community feel comfortable, and it's just one of many tools to help do that. For example, the increased lighting in the plaza, the surveillance cameras that they're going to put in, our law enforcement even being more present, and everybody from the PBID to just community members caring and wanting to make a difference. I think all of those things will help with the bad behavior.
To me, and a lot of it's the isolation, Terry, because as you described, I'm downtown, not quite as much as you because you've got the business downtown, but that is very often the economy there is homeless are in the park and they're all there by themselves. And in many regards, they're segregated from society so that the more that they're there, you know, when people are there just enjoying the space and outreaching to them is better. So I guess right. The question begs the question, you mean how much outreach do you do within that quote unquote homeless community and they part of the lunch? Do you guys bring food or stuff down
it's a bring your own lunch uh-huh. thing. One day when it was 106 out, I brought some water down and some water pops, but it's bring your own lunch. And I've done quite a bit of outreach. I mean, there's a lot of people that do a lot more outreach than I have, but You know, I've helped a few people along the way. I have myself given some money to people and, you know, given food here and there. But I don't think that's the answer to, it's not a solution to our problem. And I think that offering resources via Torrey Shelter, the Jesus Center, Chico Peace is a better way to help somebody.
I'm going to come out tomorrow. I'm going to bring
all
my
right.
own lunch.
Very good.
And I think the way you describe it, I'll bring a little extra and I'll kind of just mosey around. I'm in the plaza alone.
Sounds great.
You know, one thing I just have to share these backstories just to kind of talk about Terry, because I thought it was beautiful seeing you in the article, because you and I have talked. I mean, we started Youth for Justice. You and I went out in the back and we talked about the program.
Yep.
That it still has a big place in my heart, you know, helping the youth in that area. But I remember there was one specific time you came to the plaza with me. There was one specific person that I thought you could help. And you said, okay.
I remember that.
You might even remember the person. But you and I went over there and you made contacts with this person and you tried to help him. So I've seen you in that space, and I've seen you, you know, I know that you care.
Thank you.
I think most of the community cares. We try to slough this off that that person doesn't care, or this person doesn't care, or they voted for Trump, or they voted. It's just absurd. I mean, I think all politics go aside once you, you know, walk into a public space like downtown.
Right. I agree.
Any closing comments, Terry?
I don't think so. Come out and enjoy Plaza, the lunch at the Plaza, and, you know, I think everybody wants the same results. We all just have different ways of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anybody that wants to see crime and vandalism and drugs and that type of thing going on in our town. So that's my hope.
And it's Wednesdays? Wednesdays, what's the dates on those? What
Wednesdays times? At 1.
Wednesdays at 1.
At the Plaza.
Downtown Chico Plaza. Thanks so much, Terry DuBose.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of Without a Roof Radio Program, I want to thank everyone for listening and joining. And tune in next week. We'll hear more from Kayla Young. We're going to be having Chico Housing Action Team on here, as well as John Linton from the I Have a Name Project. And let's be better humans here on People Powered Radio.